What I'm going to speak about today, we have been, I think over the past 4 weeks, we've been touching the scriptures. You'll see, because last Wednesday I had to shut up at the Bible study, because a lot of the scriptures I'm going to bring to today. And I'm looking at the person of the Holy Spirit. Now the scripture reading, one of the purposes that was shown in that scripture reading, and one of the purposes for the resurrection of Christ, is for the Holy Spirit to be sent. Most important. Hopefully that'll stop that lot. The Holy Spirit had to be sent. Jesus said, if I don't go, the Holy Spirit won't come. So Jesus had to die first and then be resurrected for the Holy Spirit to come. And it goes on in that chapter saying that when he comes, he's got a predetermined program to carry out, part of which is to commit, to convict humanity of sin for not believing on Jesus, for righteousness, because the God the Father has justified all the work of his Son. And because the prince of this world, Satan, has been judged and condemned through Christ's death and resurrection. And also, we're told at the end of that scripture reading, also the Holy Spirit will take from what is Christ's and make it known to us. You think of that. He will take of what belongs to Jesus and reveals it to us and make it known to us. This is because all that belongs to the Father is Christ's. And this shows the equality of the deity and divinity which belongs to the Father and the Son, and that the Holy Spirit is able to reveal to us. Now, those are wonderful verses to sit and think about in John chapter 16. What we need to do and what needs to be done is the fact that the Holy Spirit is a person. We need to grasp and understand this fact. He's the third person in the Godhead. He is a person. He's a divine person. He's exhibiting what we term divine attributes, working among humanity in accordance with the predetermined plan of God, of the Godhead. That plan, the Godhead will bring to fruition, irrespective of any hindrance, disruption, blocking or blindness on the part of Satan and his hosts and or mankind. We as children of God can let the Holy Spirit use us individually in participating in this actual process of the plan and have a great time with the divine Holy Spirit doing it, or we can individually refuse the Holy Spirit and sit on the fence and watch the plan procession go by and miss out of the blessing, although we're still children of God. Now, one of the purposes of the resurrection is, I said before, is that the Holy Spirit would come. If Christ wasn't raised, the Holy Spirit wouldn't come. And here's a term that I hadn't heard before, but I found out. The Holy Spirit is Christ's vicegerent. Not regent, vicegerent. A vicegerent is a person appointed by a ruler as an administration's deputy and to exercise all or some of the authority of another. Christ has gone and he is in heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He is waiting for all rule to be put underneath his feet before he comes back again. Who is here? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is carrying out Christ's work through us if we let him. The Holy Spirit has come, and he's coming for the purpose to reveal the finished work of Jesus and the glorification of Jesus. Where can we find? We know about the work of Christ, what he did, but the finished work and the glorification. The book of Ephesians. You need to read it. That talks about the glorification of Christ. And one of the promises in there is one of my ones that I really like, that the Father may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, you may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of his inheritance in the saints, and what the greatness of his power towards us in which he raised Christ from the dead. And he seated Christ far above all principality, power and might and dominion, everything that is named. Christ has been glorified. He has finished his work. And the intriguing thing is, as well, the disciples knew the Holy Spirit working through them. You've just got to look and read the Gospels at what the apostles and the others did when they were sent out by Jesus. Remember, the 12 went out, he sent the 12 out, he sent another 72 out. And he said, heal the sick, cast out demons, and raise the dead. They knew the power. They knew the Holy Spirit working in them. They knew him. So what happened to Pentecost that was new? Or we think, oh, the Holy Spirit has come. What's new with Pentecost? Well, one of the things, the Holy Spirit takes the things of Christ and reveals them to us, as you can see in John 16. All that the Father has. And we expect the Father to be divine, to be deity. All that the Father has is Christ's. And the Holy Spirit takes that from Christ. Therefore, we need to look at why the Holy Spirit is here. Why? Because he's been sent. And who the Holy Spirit is? He's deity. He's divine. And as I said in John 16 there, what the Holy Spirit does, he's the vicegerent. He has the authority from Christ, he has the authority from God to carry on doing the work of the Lord through us. And how does this Holy Spirit do it? As I just said, he works through us. We live in, we walk in, and we are led by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not only a person. He's a divine person. He's one of the three people in the Godhead. And as such, is a divine being. Now, Hebrews 9:14 says this. Christ offered himself as a perfect sacrifice through the eternal Spirit. Eternal. And you can only be God and divine and deity if you are eternal. And this, Jesus said in Matthew, didn't he? He said, you know, go round and teach and make disciples. He said, baptizing them in the name of the Father and in the name of the Son and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Baptizing them in the name of the Father. In the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. A name represents who and what a person is. If you sit and think about that, those that have been baptized, those of you that have come to know the Lord, you've gone through the waters of baptism, you were baptized in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Wonderful thought. Wonderful thought to sit and meditate on that. And the Holy Spirit is that third person in the Godhead with the same attributes as the Father and Son. Now, the following attributes constitute the Godhead. God is all-powerful, he's all-knowing, he's present everywhere, he's transcendent, in other words, he's utterly other than what we are, he is unchanging, he's eternal, he's infinite, he's self-existent, he's holy, he's wise, he's love. And these things apply to the Holy Spirit as well. To sum it up, the Holy Spirit is, he's co-equal in power and glory, he's co-eternal, and, here's another technical term for you, he's consubstantial, he's possessing the same substance as being as the Father. We are dealing with the Holy Spirit, who is deity, who is God. And we can see the work of the Holy Spirit through the book of Acts. Now, I'm not going to read 28 chapters of Acts. I'm going to leave you with the chance of reading the whole book of Acts, because this is where his work is shown. There are about 35 references concerning him and his work and the manifestations that accompanied his work in the book of Acts. He was promised, and I'm going to take a bit of liberty here and put a bit of drama into it. The Father commissions him to come to his children. The Father sends the Holy Spirit. And he really, you could say, he's saying to the Holy Spirit, you're going to come to my children, and Jesus will inform his disciples of this. You will go and work, as my prophet Joel will foretell, and you will be promised to be with my children. Well, think of Acts chapter 1. Jesus said, wait, tarry, for the Father will send the Holy Spirit to you. And what happens? Chapter 2, the Holy Spirit comes. Peter takes up the prophecy of Joel, doesn't he, in the same chapter, saying that people will prophesy, dream dreams, have visions, wonders in heaven and above, and signs in the earth. And right at the end of that chapter, Peter says there, be baptized and receive the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, who is for all who are called by God. It's there for us. And not only to those people, but we must remember that it was done for the Gentiles as well. The word was preached to them. The Holy Spirit fell. They exhibited tongues, and they were baptized. He was promised. He came. He will be seen. The Father had said to him, you will reveal yourself and manifest yourself through individuals. And you've only got to look in chapter 6 of Acts and to think of the seven deacons. Choose out seven men. Or choose out seven people. Men full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit. Do we see people today full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit that can be recognized? It could be seen. He could be seen. Then there's Barnabas, we're told, who was full of the Holy Spirit and faith. And then on the first missionary journey with Paul, he confronted Elymas, and it says that he confronted Elymas, and Paul was full of the Holy Spirit. He can be seen in people. Not only is he promised, not only is he seen, but he will be received. You will be received by those who want you, including the Gentiles, and you'll manifest yourself to them. What about the Samaritans? They manifested the work of the Holy Spirit in them. In Acts chapter 10, again, the Gentiles were baptized in the Holy Spirit. And they manifested him through tongues. And then many, many years later, Paul encounters 12 disciples from the Ephesian church. Many years later, they were baptized after John's baptism, but Paul taught them about baptism by immersion and talked to them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and manifested him. He will be received. He also works and leads God's people. Father must have told him that your task is to make church leaders, instruct churches, speak through about things that will happen, deal with evil spirits, provide physical healings and miracles. You will continue the work of Jesus, especially on a much larger and wider scale through my children than you will when Jesus was on earth. Right at the end of Acts, the Holy Spirit makes overseers of the Ephesian church. What happened with Philip when he was speaking to the Ethiopian eunuch and he had baptized him? It says that the Holy Spirit took up Philip and took him away from the Ethiopian eunuch. And the Ethiopian eunuch went back home rejoicing. And then there are times when the Holy Spirit foretells the future through Agabus, events of a famine that was to come, which did come. And there are prophets with Judas and Silas. Then, as I said, first of all, there's the first missionary journey in Acts 13. He instructs, the Holy Spirit instructs the church at Antioch for a job that is to be done, and he commissions it. And you have Paul and Silas going off on the first missionary journey. And as well, the Holy Spirit, he deals with an antagonist, which was Elymas, by bringing discernment and showing what he was like. And again, Paul encounters a slave girl, doesn't he? After going to Seller of Purple. But he's walking around and there's this slave girl following them around. She has got a false prophesying spirit which is bringing lucre to her people that control her. But he knows it's an evil spirit. And what does he have? He has from the Holy Spirit discerning of spirits. And he casts it out. So let's remember that the Holy Spirit is a divine person, and as a person, we treat him, ought to treat him as a person. What happens when you treat people? He can be grieved. We can grieve people, can't we? We can say unkind things, do things that hurt people. The Holy Spirit can be grieved. He can be lied to. You've got the two people that sold some land and withheld some of the money. And Peter said, not only have you lied to God, but you've lied to the Holy Spirit. And then Jesus himself said, you know, all sin can be forgiven except for blaspheming against the Holy Spirit. But as a person also, he can forbid. He forbids entrance into Asia and Bithynia. He guides the church people in the Council of Jerusalem dealing with the problem of some people there wanting to bring in circumcision. You know, you've got to be circumcised to be saved. But no, he guides them. And of course, he sends people. He sent people from Cornelius to Peter to bring him to tell the Gentiles about Christ. And the Holy Spirit speaks to people, Peter, and says to them, go with them because I've sent them. They're Gentiles, but I've sent them, you go with them. And of course, the Lord Jesus himself regards the Holy Spirit as a person, as we've seen, as I said, in Matthew, where he says, baptize them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. He's not an influence, he is a person. And Paul counts him as a person in the benediction. Do you realize this? When we say the grace together at the end, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. We're going to have a meal afterwards and we're going to have fellowship together. We can have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. He is a person. He is a divine person. Do you want the Holy Spirit to work here in this place in your lives as seen in the book of Acts? That's why I said read Acts. Have a look and think about it. He is a person. And as a person, he is promised. He can be seen. He can be received. And he works and leads God's people. He is unchanging. The Holy Spirit is unchanging. He is eternal, and we are dealing with deity and the divine. We need to ask ourselves, how will I respond to the Holy Spirit? Scripture says, doesn't it? Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the day of provocation. Don't harden your hearts too. Good news of Jesus Christ. The good news of Jesus. That Father sent his Son to die for mankind, to bear their sin, to bring them back to God, to be his children. This was the blood of the eternal covenant that was made between the Father and the Son. And Not only that, Peter said, didn't he? Believe the good news, repent and be baptized. And I was thinking about this because we were talking about baptism by immersion at a Bible study. And I was thinking, water, immersion in water. Why? Well, if you look at it, water is judgment. Christ was judged in our place, but the Father has said that if you are baptized in water and immersed, you are baptized into Christ's death as well. And as Christ is raised, you're raised, because baptism is showing what has happened to you. Be baptized. Believe the good news. Be baptized. And will you hear his voice? To accept that the fact the Holy Spirit is a divine person carrying out Christ's work till Christ comes again. He is a promise for everyone who is called of God. Christ, the Holy Spirit, is working. He is a person of the Godhead wanting to work through us. Have a think about it, because it's only struck me only very recently that he is a person, to be honest. And I'm glad that he's a person and that he has all the powers, the same as the Father, same as the Son. So let's just bow our heads in prayer. Let's just think about this, that the Holy Spirit is a person. And he wants to work through all of us in his own way if we let him.